Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong, profitable impact on your business.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today, producer, publisher, and strategic financial consultant, Lynn Kitchen, joins me. Now, Lynn was introduced by a pair of very good friends of both of ours, Mark Fowler and Barbara Gahn Mueller, and I wanted to make sure that they knew that, you know, we could thank them for this introduction. Lynn is passionate about the power of mentorship and the can-do spirit, and today she joins me to discuss how your greatest dreams can perform miracles. Love that. The power of mentorship as a way of life. What is motivation? Thinking positive and not negative. It's a moment-by-moment choice. Lynn, good morning. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I am genuinely thrilled to have you here.
I am so delighted, and I'm very, very grateful to our mutual friends, Barbara Gahn Mueller and Mark Fowler, who have opened the door this morning to this. You know, they are the authors of that amazing book called Revolutionary Conversations, and I know you've interviewed both of them separately. And so I'm just delighted to be, you know, to have this opportunity to speak with you as well, because they have made a big impression in my life, and I'm just hoping that I can be just as fun for you and your audience today as they were, or insightful, or do something great here today. I'm really excited to be here. Thank you, Denise.
Oh, thank you. Based on the conversations that we've had before, we're going to have a terrific time. We're going to share a lot of information and entertain all at the same time. I am not concerned. But before we start, and I'm losing my voice a bit this morning, so kind of bear with me, can you share a bit about yourself with our audience that I didn't kind of fit into the intro?
Well, I'd be delighted to. First of all, I want to say I love the name of your radio show, Partner in Success Radio. I mean, that I want to talk about partnering and having a partner in believing as a way of life. And I think I'd like to share my background. All through my life, I have needed people to help me get to where I thought I wanted to go, step by step by step. And so early on, I feel I've been an entrepreneur all my life, and I started out selling books door to door to get myself through college. And I was, you know, one of the top salesmen and a girl at the time, maybe one of three girls out of a population of 300 gentlemen doing this job, selling books door to door. And I excelled, and I thought, you know, I can sell. I can make an impact. I can actually help people make a decision based upon what I'm saying. And so I thought, okay, I'm going into the sales and marketing industry. And when I got out of college, I thought, you know, what is it that I'm going to sell? What the heck am I going to sell? Well, I learned early on that you better choose something to sell that you want to be talking about all day long. Get it? And I tried computers at the time it was before computers. It was typewriters. IBM only had typewriters, no computers. They were just coming into their computer era. So it was typewriters. And I just didn't want to talk about typewriters all day long. So I had to ask myself, what is it that I am most interested in? And the answer was money, because I didn't have any. So I wanted money. I wanted money for my career. I wanted money, you know, just to be able to pay rent. I wanted money just to have a decent life. I wanted money. And so when I admitted that to myself, I decided, well, what do I really know about money? And it wasn't very much, really. I hadn't had much, and I didn't know if I ever would have the opportunity to have money, what I would do with it if I did have it. So I decided, and I took, you know, some big risks, and I decided to go into the money business. So right out of college, I interviewed all up and down Los Angeles, all of the brokerage firms, of which there are, you know, thousands, as you probably are aware, in a big city. And I, you know, I said, I can sell. Well, at the time, this was in 1976. I know I'm telling you a long story here, but it kind of, there's a point to it. In 1976.
No, but it's important, so keep going.
There were no sales jobs for women as a stockbroker. You could be hired as an assistant to a stockbroker or as a back office person or a secretary, but you could not be hired directly as a stockbroker. So I just said, well, not me. I can sell, and I'm going to learn how to sell money, and so just give me a chance. And no one would give me a chance. And I knocked on doors and had interviews, and I was only, you know, 25 at the time, so I had lots of energy. Knocking on doors was something I was used to doing. So I just knocked on so many doors and had conversations until I found one manager in one major firm. It wasn't Merrill Lynch, which was my goal. It was Dean Witter at the time, which later became Dean Witter, Morgan Stanley Dean Witter. And the gentleman gave me a chance. He said, you know, I've got three daughters, and I would like somebody to say yes to my daughters when they are ready to find their way in the world. So I'm going to say yes to you now. And it was the first experience that I had of somebody paying it forward, which we call now paying it forward. Long story short, I became a stockbroker with Dean Witter, one of the majors. In training, I was, again, one of three women in a sea of men. And in the first 4 years of being with a major firm, I decided, I had this entrepreneurial spirit, I decided, no, I want to go independent, and I did. Looking back, it took a lot of guts. I don't think I'd have the courage today that I had then, but I opened my own broker dealership, and I was one of the first women on the West Coast anyway, who opened my own broker dealership, which meant I had my own firm, and I hired brokers to work under me, most of whom were women. And I opened the doors for lots of women back then. And long story short, I had a 35-year career in the investment world, mostly in Los Angeles. And that was just a little bit of my early background. So just to answer your question, to give your audience a little flavor of some of my background, I would have to say it's a combination of money, taking risks, entrepreneurship, and challenging myself. Underlying all of that, none of that could have happened if I didn't have a partner in believing, a partner in success, as your radio show says. A partner, somebody who could believe in my crazy dreams. Somebody who would say, don't do that, do this. Try that. Or get off your duff and at least try. Take action. And so that kind of gives you a little background, right?
It does, and it's an amazing story. And I kept hearing the Great American Dream. It kept kind of floating in this, you know, cartoon bubble over my head. This is the Great American Dream. You take your dreams, you do what you need to do, you find people who can help you, and you just forge your own path. I think it's an astonishing story.
Well, thank you. You know, that's why I'm really excited to speak with you today, as well as those who follow you. I understand you have a huge following, Denise. Congratulations. This is this is wonderful. And I'm sure that everybody is involved in their own version of a dream. And you mentioned American Dream, but I've actually had a recent epiphany that it may, you know, we talk about the American Dream, but it's really now global. The global dream is much more predominant, I believe, in all of our consciousness. And so it's moved beyond just an American concept, but, you know, what can we do to have a better globe? What can we do to have a better world? What can we do to fulfill our universal desires, those things that call from deep within that we want to become and to be? And it's more universal than, it has no boundaries, you see. So whereas America actually does have a great reputation for having been probably the center of, you know, the legacy and heritage of go west, young men, and, you know, have an American dream and all of that.
Right. Strike out on your own and do your best.
Now.
Yeah.
See,
yeah, it could. I agree with you. I'm not going to argue with you about that. I'm witnessing that as well. Something you said at the very top of the show, though, and it's in keeping with what we're talking about right now, is that whole pay it forward attitude without other people believing in you, whether it's here, whether it's in Nairobi, wherever it is, without people believing you in you and lifting you up and offering whatever assistance they can, when they can. It doesn't have to be a paycheck. It can just be a kind word or a random thought that kind of sticks with you. Oh, I can take that and run with it. I think this is a great time to be alive, and better yet, pay attention. Pay attention. There's so much going on around us. There are so many people who genuinely, there's a lot of negativity in the news right now. So you know what? I don't pay any attention to it. You used to be a political junkie, a news junkie. Now they can barely get my attention. I would rather pay attention to and spend time with people like you and people like Emmanuel Etier and Mark and all the people that I get to interview from all over the globe. This is where I pick up my inspiration. And honestly, Lynn, when I hang up the phone and this thing goes in the can, it goes out to iTunes and we're all done, I can't even begin to tell you. I go outside, and this is every single time I end an interview, I race outside. I've got these wonderful old-growth pecan trees that are in the back of my house, and it's raining. I will kick off my shoes, dig my toes into the earth, ground with the earth, and be so grateful for the conversation that we've had today and the conversations that have gone before and the ones that will come going forward. It's just a better way to live, don't you think?
I do. That's beautiful. You know, paying attention, what are we paying attention to? And we get to choose, right? We get to choose
exactly
who we hang out with. We get to choose the news that we pay attention to. We get to choose our thoughts on a moment-by-moment basis. You know, it's either we get to choose the positively charged electron thought or the negative, and it's our choice. It's phenomenally surprising to me how much I think that's a central concept of navigating through life, is being aware, paying attention, like you said, being aware, and then allowing yourself to be pulled by the vibration or the vibratory place that you truly aspire toward. For example, who do you want to become? You know, what do you want to feel like all day and every day? You know, that gratitude and the gratefulness, like you said, with your toes in the sand. And I'm so grateful for the conversation, the rich conversations that we have. And that's, you know, what creates that gratitude and that appreciation starts with what is it that we allow our attention to gravitate toward. Who is it that we are becoming? Who is it that we can be? What excites us? What motivates us? What is it that we want to become and give, do, have, and accomplish? And who are we? You know, who are we being on a daily basis? And I really think that goes back to moment-by-moment choices of what are we thinking? What are we choosing to think? Is it the vibration of a positive, motivationally highly charged greatness or do good or, you know, laced with good? Or are we kind of, you know, being a little bit
wallowing
negative?
In it.
You know?
Yeah.
It can
I see
be
people wallow
positive.
In it. They make that choice and they just won't come out of it. They won't course correct. And it makes me sad.
Right.
It really
yeah.
does. Because, like, you see, from
have
moment
that
to moment,
factor, like
you can
you
course
said.
Correct. You can stop. Yeah.
Well, that's why the, you know,
go ahead,
the
I'm
number
sorry.
One.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I heard some static on the line, so I may not have heard you. Course correct is really great. And in order to course correct, you really have to have a disciplined awareness. It's almost like the number one skill set is to notice what you're noticing, to notice your thoughts, to be able to course correct in the first place. And that's why it's important to have people around you and with you that can help you course correct and say, hey, aren't you being a bit negative here? What about this? What about this possibility? And what about that possibility? And have you tried this? And have you tried that? And I think that's what I look for is people who can help me course correct. And it's important to have somebody in your corner, right?
It is. Listen, when I first started out, I'm an introvert. I will tell anybody who will listen, I am a high-functioning introvert. I fully intend to grow up to be the crazy cat lady sitting on her front porch in a rocker with a shotgun and a shawl yelling, get off the grass. I mean, that's my goal. But the thing is, when I first started out doing what it is that I do, and like you, I've evolved over time, there was no mentorship available to me. The internet was in its infancy. I was building HTML sites, which probably some of the audience knows what I'm talking about, but most of them won't. They're very clunky. They're difficult to build. You have to code. I was coding in my sleep. Loved it. But there were no chat rooms. There was no mentors. I couldn't hire somebody. I literally was on my own. Now, you talk about scared, determined, and not going to fail, but going, I mean, I walked around a lot going, oh, crap, oh, crap, oh, my God, oh, crap, a lot. And then finally, I just said, you know what, I've got this. And I found ways to find assistance or advice. And over time, of course, the internet became, now there's too much advice out there. There's too much stuff going on. But you have to filter through it. But I totally understand because I had nobody. I had to do it on my own, and it's a scary place. I look back
well,
and
amazing.
I honestly, man,
you know,
I wonder how I
you.
Did it. How did I survive?
Yeah, when you look back, you go, what did I mean, I had to
exactly.
have.
Exactly.
I had to have balls of steel, pardon my expression, but, you know, you rise. You rise to the occasion. And what I want to do is right now is pause for a minute and just congratulate you and pat you on the back for that. That's a big win that you can look back. Sometimes we can't see our courage except in retrospect. But the courage that you employed there without even knowing it, and maybe you were motivated by something that was really important to you, but you did it. I love to ask people who did mentor you, and I'm sure you probably had somebody, Denise, in your life that you could point to that, you know, said something to you throughout. Maybe it was a teacher, or it could have been, I don't know what, but is there anyone that you can think of that really rocked your world, that changed the trajectory of your life by something that they said, good or bad?
You know,
it could be positive or negative.
Right. That is actually a terrific question, and I thank you for asking it. Years ago, you know, when you're young, you're in your 20s, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21, you are so arrogant. You're too stupid to breathe on your own for the most part. And I was. I was a kind of a punk. And I remember, and I only met this gentleman once, I was in a hardware store picking up something. I think I had brought home some chickens and I needed to build a chicken coop. I can't remember why I was in there, but I think that's what it was for. And this very elderly, and even at my age, I knew he was quite old, wizened, you know, old farmer. He was standing around, he was talking with somebody, and somehow I got roped into the conversation. And how this came up, I could not tell you. It was a long time ago, but it has stuck with me ever since. This man said, you know, it was a single sentence. He said, never ask, how did he put it? You know, if you need help, and I'm going to have to paraphrase now, but because I haven't thought of it in a while, but basically if you need assistance, you don't ask the guy standing by a lamppost to do it. If he's leaning on the lamppost and he's not busy, he's not engaged, don't ask him for help. He's not going to lift a finger. Basically what he says is when you need help, you ask a busy person. And I took that to mean later, as I grew wiser, that they're always in motion. Their mind's engaged, their brain's engaged, their body's engaged. The lazy guy leaning on the lamppost isn't going to be worth a darn. Bypass him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And in that moment,
it's an old memory, and I'm having to dig for it.
That's great, because in that moment there was something that clicked within you, right?
It did. So now when I want to, you know, have any kind of interaction with people, I'm looking for people like you and Mark who are engaged. They're busy. They're doing things. But they will take a moment and say, sure, Denise, I'll ask a question or answer a question. Or, you know, yes, I'll be happy to pass that on or play it forward, as you said. So you always, once that finally sunk in, I went, oh, okay, he wasn't just saying stuff for the sake of saying stuff. That was actually a pearl of wisdom there. Let me squirrel that one away. And I've always made it a point to work with or work for busy people. You know, not busy who are just busy. Busyness is different from productive people.
Right. I love that because underneath that, he was saying ask. Yes, ask a busy person, but ask.
Yes. Yeah.
And
exactly.
I love that because, you know, it underscores the asking for help, right, and how important that is and how
exactly.
difficult it is for a lot of people.
And so you just inadvertently stumbled on what I was trying to get at and couldn't quite articulate. I have a problem with asking, or I used to. You know, I'm an introvert. I like to do things on my own. Told what to do. I fight with my nav system. She says go left, and I tell her she's not the boss of me. I have a bit of a personality problem going on here, as you can see. So asking for assistance, you know, when I first started out, was just not an option for a lot of reasons. It wasn't, other than outside of books maybe, or going to meetings, which I would rather be hit by a beer truck than attend a network meeting. But yeah, I mean, I'm an inveterate reader, so I read a lot and I pick up a lot of, you know, information, wisdom from that. But until I got out of my own head and started asking for help, asking for advice, asking for mentoring, asking for coaching, I wasn't doing so great in my business. Once I got over that and went, there's a whole world out there and there's a lot of people who have value. Why am I shunning them? It was a big leap for me. It really was.
Yeah, it can be, and I would like to just really say that's, I think it's a very, very common thing, and you're not alone. You weren't alone, you're not alone, and I'm sure maybe somebody listening here today might recognize. I certainly felt the same way and often do even today. I think I can do it myself. It's kind of like a Lone Ranger syndrome. And I have learned the hard way, and I have lost a lot of money by doing so, made bad investment choices, made less than admirable decisions, because me and myself and my own counsel don't really know or can't see a lot of the conditions and circumstances that the complications that we as business people do face on a daily basis. And so it really is important to ask others who, you know, are peers or people who are in your shoes or that have the perspective, or somebody even better still, somebody who's already accomplished, what it is that you want to accomplish, and you ask them, what does it look like from where you're sitting now? You're already successful. What does that look like? How did you get there? What advice would you give me? Sometimes you don't have to ask for just in the explicitly something in particular, but what about just, you know, how do you see things? Asking how do you see things from your perspective can give lots of insight to those of us who are, you know, kind of slogging along. But I'm not suggesting anybody in your audience is slogging along, because I do believe that your audience is, you know, a cut above and probably smarter than the average bear. But I do like to ask, and I have done interviewing of people who have succeeded in their lives. As a matter of fact, after I retired from the investment world, I moved into interviewing people who have had a great deal of success as motivational speakers, mentors. And I often ask, who mentored you? Because I think it's really important to pause and look back in our lives and say, who were the important people who made a shift for me? And who do I have now in my corner? And if I don't have anyone, who can I ask? For me, I believe that the number one skill set that business people can get a little stronger on is understanding or being aware that the power of having a mentor and being a mentor at the same time is really valuable. Like, it's just as a way of life. If you can have a mentor at all times, no matter what, just decide, I'm going to have a mentor, whether it's in business or it could be in relationships. You could have multiple mentors. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
you can have multiple mentors.
Was it Napoleon Hill that, I think it was Napoleon Hill that had his imaginary board of directors who mentored him? And I think Abraham Lincoln sat on that board. And gosh, who else was it? It was Henry Ford, I believe. It was an amazing array of people he had lined up. They were all past. They were all beyond the veil, if you will. But he sure took all of their lessons to heart.
I have my own. I have my own.
I call it
my Harkness table. And every morning I call a meeting to order. I have my Harkness table. Some people, this is all imaginary. I bring a problem that I'm having or facing into the center of the table, and I ask everybody to discuss it. And from throughout the day, I will receive like a little, you know, thought or a download or an impression in my mind, and I kind of feel like there was some advice that I was able to take, and I really appreciate that. Thanks for bringing that up, because it was Napoleon Hill who made that famous in his book, Think and Grow Rich. And similar to that, you know, I think that we can have live people that we actually can call up on a moment's notice and say, hey, what do you think about this idea? But as no matter where we are on our skill set, you know, or our success level, there's always somebody who's not quite where we are, who's maybe one rung below us, that we can reach out and become a mentor to, and be at least accessible and open a door. Say, hey, if you ever need any advice, just give me a call. So it just opens the door so that, you know, if we make a decision not only to have a mentor at all times that we can call, but be open to be a mentor. What that does is it expands our circuitry of connection, I like to say. And when you expand your circuitry of connection, what was it? Do you remember the play, I think it was a Disney play, where the Lion King, yes, the Lion King, and the little Simba, the little lion, you know, it's the famous song in that play is the circle of connection, the circle of life,
Right.
It's so true. It's the power of connection. I have this quote that I like to share with you, and that is that mentorship is the ground wire to greatness. Because as we get mentored and be willing to be a mentor, we're opening up to this circuitry of connection, and that's how we rise. In my opinion, that's how we all can rise faster. Everybody's looking to do things faster these days, right? Make more money quickly. Get ahead faster. Do this faster. 10 times this and 10 times that. And no, 10 times isn't enough. Let's do 50 times. Let's do 100 times. Let's get there faster, greater, bigger, stronger. Well, how are we going to do that? And I really believe that the foundation is pay attention to your connections. Who are you speaking to, and how are you being a person of increase for someone else? It's very similar to Partner in Success Radio. I mean, that's what you're all about, Denise, is choosing a partner, to partner in believing. I just want somebody to celebrate my wins with me, if nothing else.
Exactly. And, you know, even though I truly am an introvert, I'm happy that way. Nobody's going to yank me out of here. Thank you very much. Not going to happen. But I have overcome, and I'm not going to call it an aversion to people. It's an aversion to crowds. I'm good in a crowd for about 59 3/4 minutes, and then I've got to go. I've timed it 59 3/4 minutes. That's all I've got. But what I have learned over time is that if I don't reach out, I don't learn things like I'm learning with you, and I don't get to speak with people like you. And the more I reach out, the more people reach back to me. So it's very much a circle.
And does that feel good?
Yes, it really
yeah.
does. Look, I have any number of people that I can pick up the phone and say, listen, I've got this kind of, you know, sticky problem that I can't quite resolve in my mind. It's, you know, I'm not necessarily asking them to come over here and move my car out of the garage or because it's got a flat tire, what's going on? I'm not asking for, you know, help that would be way, way out of the way. But when you put together minds that kind of run along the same track, if you will, that have the same kind of engine capability, I don't even know how to put it any stronger than that. But those minds, you can jump on a 5-minute phone call and go, oh, thank you. I've got it. I'm going to run with that. Is there anything I can do to help you? Great. Talk with you later. After that, your brain, your mind, your soul, your energy is just, you're totally revitalized. And it can just be, like you said, a few minutes, and that's all you need. But you have to give it back. If you're not giving it back to that person necessarily, you better find a way to give it back to somebody else quickly so you don't stop that track.
Well, I love that, you know, because it is, we're not meant to do anything alone, right? We're not meant, I mean, maybe we enjoy being solitary, and that's fine. And yet, look at the value that you just mentioned in that interplay, that, and that's how we get revitalized, is through this connection. Oh, it's so important. I was interviewing... I had the great fortune to interview some of the best motivational speakers that we have in our world today. Les
Bob
Brown,
Proctor's,
you know,
one of them.
And
Les
Bob
Brown,
Proctor.
Yep.
Dr. Wayne Dyer, right before he passed away, Mary Morrissey. And one of the things I want to offer to your audience is an opportunity to listen to a video that came as a result of my asking 3 of those people who had one man who was a common denominator, who each one of them had one man as their mentor. It was kind of an interesting thing to think about what there actually did exist, one man who mentored 3 of our thought leaders, Dr. Wayne Dyer, Mary Morrissey, and Les Brown, were all mentored by one gentleman, if you can think of that. Now, nobody really knew that, and I thought that would be an interesting angle to interview the three of them to see what they had to say about the one man who mentored all three. And, of course, they each went on in their lives to mentor millions, right, around the world, just millions, and impact people and change lives and so forth. And each one of them decided, yes, I want to pay tribute to our mentor. So that gentleman's name, who's passed away, of course, but his name was Jack Boland, and he was a minister in Detroit, Michigan, who actually had a great deal of impact on these three people. And early in their lives, he shaped and helped form and motivated their steps along their way. And they came together, and we had this amazing conversation. I rented a studio. It was actually the Guyam studio out in Los Angeles. And the three of us got together and talked about, we had a conversation, talk about a revolutionary conversation. We had a conversation about not only paying tribute to that one man who impacted them so greatly, but also what is the power of mentorship? How do you motivate people? What's the benefit? What's the gift here? Why do we do this? Why is there an industry that, you know, with billions of dollars now in the motivational and coaching industry of helping others to rise above their boundaries that or, you know, limitations that hold them back? And this one man helped these three to rise above their own personal limitations, and on to greatness they went. So it was an extraordinary conversation, and I'm pleased to be able to offer that to your, you know, for free, to see that video, and gleans. It must be about 1,400 tips in that video alone that we can, you know, that we can glean from on what does it mean to have a mentor, and why would it be cool if you had your own.
Exactly. Where would people find that video? Now, I'm going to ask you now, and then I'll ask you again at the end of the show. So if they miss it this time, they can catch it at the end of the show.
Sure. It's my pleasure. It's a gift. And that they could go to mastermentorseries.com. So that's the word master, M-A-S-T-E-R, mentor, M-E-N-T-O-R, series, S-E-R-I-E-S.com. And it's my gift to you to see this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to listen to three great people talk about the one man who mentored them, and then they went on to mentor millions. And so if that's something you want to do to have an impact worldwide on others, this would be something that would certainly be one on your listen-to list. And it was no more than 9 months later that Dr. Wayne Dyer passed away. So this was one of his last interviews that he granted, and I feel very privileged to have been a part of that, to get these three great people together.
I listened to him for a long, long time. In fact, I still, garage sales, you know, all cars love garage sales, right? They just automatically point to them. You don't even need to be conscious of where you're going. And I was at a garage sale some years ago, and I picked up, and Zig Ziglar, one of my favorite people, and I picked up this little plastic binder that is still in my office closet, which is going to be a museum one day because all of my old phones are in there, all of my old routers are in there, all of my old computers are in there. It's really pathetic, but I can't throw any of that stuff away for some reason. But I saw this little square plastic binder, and it didn't have any writing on it. So I picked it up, and I thought, what in the heck is this? And I opened it up, and I believe it's one of those plastic molded binders, and it had, I think, either six or eight cassette tapes in it. That's how long ago this was.
Those old cassette tapes.
And it said Zig Ziglar. Yeah.
Zig Ziglar.
It said Zig Ziglar. And I thought, what is a Zig Ziglar? I didn't realize it was a name of a living person. I just thought, what in the heck is a Zig Ziglar? So I, you know, gave them my 50 cents, you know, popped it into the car, eventually found it again and went, oh, shoved it in and fell in love, irretrievably in love with Zig Ziglar. And about the same time, I also, a friend of mine said, have you ever heard of Wayne Dyer? And I said, no, I haven't. So then I started listening to Wayne Dyer. So they're a part of my, very big part of my entrepreneurial, solopreneurial journey. No question about it.
Absolutely. Zig, I love Zig Ziglar. Born to Win, you know, his one of his best books.
Yeah.
The greatest salesman in the world. The secrets, you know, secrets of clothes. See You at the Top. I remember that one. See You at the Top. And I was a junkie. I mean, I was an absolute groupie, I would say, of motivational speakers when I was first getting into my stock brokerage career. I was always looking for motivational speakers that I could go listen to pump myself up, you know, to get motivated, to rise above, to say, hey, you've got this, girl, you know, and because I needed to motivate myself from within. So I would seek out these people. And in Los Angeles, these great people would come, of course, because it's a big city. They had a lot of people who were interested. Mostly the life insurance companies would bring them in, and I would hang out at the life insurance company sales meetings and see if I could get in on the back row. And Zig Ziglar would come through. Les Brown would come through. I remember being in the audience with Norman Vincent Peale when he was still alive, The Power of Positive Thinking. And it impressed me, and I think that is the reason today that I'm doing what I'm doing, which is, you know, the other hat that I'm wearing right now is as a producer. And this is kind of one of my newest dreams that I'm kind of reinventing myself. We do that about every 10 years, right, Denise? We reinvent ourselves.
Yep. I'm doing it right now as we speak.
Yeah. So it's so exciting. What I've decided is that I'm reinventing myself once again, and I'm going back to my roots, the love of these speakers, these motivational speakers. And I've decided that I'm going to produce a show to bring the very best motivational speakers that our industry has to offer, not only in America but around the world, and capture them on film and create a 13-week television series. Get this, it's going to be called World's Greatest Motivators. And we're producing, each one of these motivators will have their own 30-minute show, and we are going to have an actual television series to highlight, caps, and showcase the best that we still have. I mean, there's a lot of legacy speakers. Remember, you know, Zig Ziglar's no longer alive, and we have so many who are no longer with us, but the ones who are,
right,
why not showcase them? Because you know what? There is a hunger for people around the world, not just in our country, but the hunger for people who have, they recognize, they want more. They have extraordinary potential within them. They want to be bigger, better. They have their dreams. They want to be motivated. They want to innovate. They want to dream bigger and better, and they want to feel that, what I call the rush of conviction, you know, rising in their soul, and that fresh conviction rises up. I think that's what I like to say. That's what motivation is. When you get to feel that rush of your own conviction rising in your soul once again, do this. I can do this. So we're going to have 13 different voices speaking.
Oh my gosh! Can you share some of the people? Before I ask you that, if you can share some of these names, so have you ever met my friend Ben Gay III?
No.
I have got to introduce you to him. He is known as a living legend. He's one of the living sales legends. He's written a group of books called The Closers. Everybody that we're talking about, he knew them. He worked with them. In some cases, he hired them. He is a fantastic person. I've done a couple of interviews with him. And my friend and business partner called me about midnight one night, which she never does. She said, I was walking the dog. I just listened to your interview with Ben Kay III. It was like I was sitting in the room next to a fireplace with you guys. He is the most amazing person. I think you would just absolutely love to hear his story. But if you want, I will be happy to introduce you.
I would. And I'd love to hear your interview with him, too.
I'll send that interview along with ours
because that would be a really good hookback for your audience.
He's a lovely person, and the stories that he's got, I mean, I just sit, you know, I would sit huddled at his knee and listen. He is an amazing storyteller. I mean, he's just a lovely person. So are you able to share some of the names of the people that will be in your show? And congratulations. And I want to go back a little bit and say, okay, how did you get from stockbrokering to there? But let's start with one question at a time before I overload my brain here.
Great. Well, we are in the process. I have a partner. Her name is Julie Jones Hamilton. We have formed a production company called Kitchen Hamilton Productions, and we are right now in the developmental stage. We have a prospective lineup of seasoned motivational speakers and thought leaders. Now, these are people who've been on stage all their careers. And Bob Proctor, Jack Canfield, Les Brown, Mary Morrissey, they have signed up so far. We're in the process of speaking to others, such as Lisa Nichols, very famous motivational speaker around the world. She speaks everywhere,
from
all
the
over
secret.
The world.
Right.
Yes. Tony Robbins, John Maxwell. And there are others. We're just very proud to say, you know, there's a living legendary people who, and not only that, there are young people coming up and that we're wanting to showcase. There's a younger group. Brendan Burchard is one in a younger group. We want to.
Yeah, I have invested
have
a lot of money with him.
To speak with him, a gentleman. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these we're still outreaching to, but we're on the road. We're in the process. We're developing, and just to share with your audience, I mean, this is a new venture for me. Even though I've been in the investment world for almost four decades, I've done a lot of entrepreneurial ventures of my own, but this one is the culmination of what I think I am going to be most proud of once it's finished. And so, am I scared? Yes. Like you mentioned, you know, you
right.
You know, I don't know how to do it. I don't know the hows of it. I just know what
right.
I want, and that's really important because I don't need to know the hows yet. I have faith that all the resources will show up because the mind, this is my mentor taught me this. I want to just I've got to pause. This is side note, sidebar tip. This is the number one lesson that I have learned from my mentor, who happens to be Mary Morrissey, my master mentor. And this is what she says. When it comes to your dream, just keep moving forward because you don't need to know how. You just need to know what it is and have that burning desire in your mind because the mind, here it is, the mind that thought up your dream is the same mind that knows exactly how to bring it about. Let me say that again.
She's right.
The mind that thought up your dream, you know, that's a powerful thing right there already. The mind that thought up your dream knows exactly how to bring it about. So I, of my own little self, don't need to know the how, but I do rely on the greater mind within me that's thought this up, knows exactly how to bring it about. And so day by day by day by day, I'm taking those action steps forward, 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 and the how shows up. And so I'm in faith at all times, knowing that is going to show up, because this dream can perform miracles, not only for me, but for the people that it touches. Imagine 13 voices, and it's going to be a global project going around the world to motivate, inspire, and help people create change in their own lives, in their companies, in their cities, in their counties, in their countries, in the world.
I actually just watched the hair on my arms raise up.
That
is powerful. I did. Can you hear me? I'm rubbing my arms like, okay. I got shivers.
I do have...
I can't wait to see it.
If people want to follow the progress of this, because this is an ongoing, you know, love of creation, like a project being created right before your eyes. If you'd like to follow along and be a fan, I can give you a little site that you can give to your audience that they can follow
Absolutely.
Along, because they may be interested in, hey, you know, how, when is that coming out, and how can I see it? So I can, if you'd like, I can give you a site that people
yes.
can go to, and they just become a little fan, and then we'll keep you posted.
I will be there too. So where do we go?
That would be worldsgreatestmotivators.com. Worlds, WORLDS, plural, greatest,
mm-hmm.
motivators.com. So that's the title of the television show.
Excellent. Now, is this going to be, I don't have cable, so I don't know really much of what's going on TV. Is this going to be on regular TV? Is it going to be an internet show? I mean, how is this going to be kind of given out to the masses?
We are going to begin in the new realm of internet and all of the live streaming capabilities, which are all brand new. And we have a distribution model that we hope to expand to traditional television. All of that is in front of me and to be determined. But what we do know is that we already have organizations on board who are global in nature because of the content and the people that we have and their messages, and that people want what they have to say, and they want this content around the world. So we certainly are looking for distribution outlets. And so if there's anyone in your audience that has any ideas or distribution connections, you know, let me hear from you.
But absolutely.
We're starting,
how can they reach
We're starting
you?
With the ground.
Well, we're just giving
it's a
out.
Groundswell. And I'm sure
nice.
It'll find its own genius. Mm-hmm.
It will. You know, water always seeks its own level. Okay, so where can people reach you if they want to participate, or, you know, maybe share some tips or advice, or, hey, by the way, I know this guy, he might be interested. Where can they reach you directly?
As I mentioned, you could. I will be responding to everybody that signs in as a fan to worldsgreatestmotivators.com. But if you want to reach me directly in a more direct way, there's a contact page on my website, and that is lynnkitchen.co, not C-O-M, but C-O, Lynn Kitchen, which is my name, K-I-T-C-H-E-N. Lynn, L is spelled L-Y-N-N, two N's, so L-Y-N-N-K-I-T-C-H-E-N dot C-O.
Great.
And
I will definitely be going to that website.
Mm-hmm. There's a contact page there, and you can ask me anything you want or give me some tips, and I'll be responding personally.
Excellent. Now, I have to circle back around because you went. This is exciting. I mean, you ought to see the notes I'm scribbling. And I'm going to call you when we're done because I've got some other things I want to share offline. How did you go? I mean, and we've only got about, 4 minutes? Yeah, about 5 more minutes. I told you this was the quickest hour on the internet. It really is. It goes so quickly. How did you go and just, you know, kind of give us some, just a little story, but how did you go from being a financial advisor? Because that's a tough industry and you're kind of on the go all the time. You're constantly learning. How did you go from there into doing the work that you're doing now? I mean, that's got to be a fascinating story.
Well, thank you. It may not be quite as fascinating. Actually, I was compelled to make a change. I actually suffered from 2 bouts of stage 4 cancer. And so it was important for me to reduce the stress of the, and I'm quite sure it was the industry that I was in that, you know, added the stress levels. And so not that I wanted to leave the investment industry, because it was certainly good for me and good to me and very lucrative. But I had to make a change. And so I moved to Florida, married a wonderful gentleman, changed my life, reduced the stress levels, and then I looked around and said, well, what's next? What's next? Well, I have this entrepreneurial spirit. It took me a couple of years to see. I found Mary Morrissey, who is a wonderful motivational speaker. Now, once again, I just have this love of following motivational speakers. So I began following Mary Morrissey, and before I knew it, I was signed up to be one of her executive coaches. So I got, you know, I've been advising people all my life in money and so forth. I thought, well, maybe I'll become a life coach. I'll advise them on all kinds of different areas of their life. So I did, but I found that wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. And so I just kept searching, and what I really loved was the whole idea of asking people, who mentored you? And all of these motivational
that
greats,
makes
and
sense.
Motivational speakers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who mentored you, and why? What difference has it made in your life, and what are you seeking? And so I just started interviewing some of these greats, and as I did so, I just fell in love with them and decided this is what I want to do. I want to help people who have great messages and get their messages out to the world. Now, those are the great ones, but I also have created a publishing company for people who want to write a book because they, too, have a message. So I really have a production company and a publishing company, and I love helping others get their story out to help motivate and shift and change this world so that we can all have a better life and have a better world to live in. How's that, Denise?
That's lovely. And you just said something that I could pretty well hear the audience go, yeah, but how do you interview these people? Because you said, you know, you just started interviewing these people, you know, that made impact in your life and, you know, had these very public kind of personas. And I'm going to answer it quickly and then, you know, have you come back in and answer it. But what I have noticed to our audience, so pay attention to this, is that people like Lynn, people like all of my guests, people that I work with and connect with on a daily basis are very generous spirits. Entrepreneurs, solopreneurs are by nature very, very generous people. They're like that man said. They're busy. They're active. They're wanting to help. They may only give you 60 seconds. They may only give you an hour, but they're going to give everything they've got in that time that you've got with them. Just ask. You don't know until you ask. That's how I've gotten some of my seriously terrific guests on this podcast. I just ask. So that's
right.
my response. Lynn, what do you say?
I think we could just close with that. You know how Nike says just do it? We can say just ask.
You know, my attitude is, Lynn, there's only 2 responses to a question. Well, there's 3. Yes, no, or maybe, and maybe of course means no. But you don't know if you don't ask. So there we have
it. And one out of three. No is only one out of three. Maybe is better, and you know, creates curiosity.
Yeah.
I get to be curious. What does maybe mean? And yes, wow, that's center stream.
Yes, exactly. And I get more yeses than I get noes, so that's always a good thing. Lynn, it has been so delightful talking with you, and I know you shared some links with us during the body of the podcast. Can you go back and recap those a bit, where they can find you, where they can reach you, and why they should?
Well, thank you. The link for the free video to watch the tribute to the mentorship is called mastermentorseries.com. Secondly, the link that you may become a fan for the World's Greatest Motivators television show that I'm creating and follow along and participate if you'd like. That is worldsgreatestmotivators.com. And then thirdly, if you'd like to reach out to me personally, please go to my personal website, and there's a contact list area there, Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Kitchen, K-I-T-C-H-E-N, .co, not com, C-O. There you have it. And I wanted to just say thank you, Denise. This has been awesome.
Oh, it has been. Thank you. I thought so, too. It has been such a pleasure chatting with you, and I genuinely thank you for sharing your wonderful stories and your motivation and all of the different places where people can go to be motivated and follow along. I appreciate it, and they appreciate it. Trust me on this one. So before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us on iTunes. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Lynn, thank you so much.
Thank you too, Denise.
You can find
Denise all the best.
Griffith at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.